And now on the space show, we're going to wind the clock back 50 years when we heard this.
Moskva-radion klockan tre idag.
Говорит Москва. От Центрального комитета КПСС извещают, что 24 апреля 1957...
And that was the announcement that a Russian cosmonaut from the Soviet Union had died. Yes, our first death in space. Well, joining us now from the Space Association of Australia is Igor Rosenberg. Igor, welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you, Andrew, for inviting me.
What was that all about?
50-year anniversary of the maiden flight of Soyuz 1. It's supposed to be a new generation Soviet spacecraft. Prior to this, Soviets have quite successful two man-rated space flight, which called Vostok and Voskhod. And during a period from 1961 till 1965, they actually set a pace in the space race, which is supposed to be a space race for the moon. For those of you who know this stuff, who are interested, there were six successful Vostok missions. Obviously, first spaceman was Yuri Gagarin, 12th of April 1961, which was start of the manned spaceflight. Soviets successfully did a lot of tricks to achieve achievements in space, like they tried to launch dual mission with Vostok 3 and Vostok 4. Prior to this, in the same year, they launched German Titov for whole 25 hours on orbit, and then pull another rabbit out of the hat by launching first woman Valentina Tereshkova together in dual mission with Valery Bykovsky. Vostok 1 did not have soft landing systems. You can feel like it was a huge rush to achieve space flight even before soft landing system was developed. So all of cosmonaut has to be bailed out of spacecraft, and they landed by ejecting on the from spacecraft and landing on the parachute. Two other spacecraft belonged to Voskhod mission. First, multi-crew mission, with Commander Vladimir Komarov, Feoktistov, two civilian, Feoktistov, who was designer of spacecraft, and MD Yegorov. And last mission in this, what I call golden age of Soviet space exploration, happened in March 1965, when Voskhod 2 has been used for first human EVA mission, when Leonov actually spent 12 minutes in open space.
The seventh cosmonaut was Vladimir Komarov. He commanded the three-man Voskhod 1 on 1964, October the 12th, on a one-day mission. He again flew in space as the sole occupant of Soyuz 1. After one day in orbit on 1967, April the 23rd, he died when, after re-entry into the atmosphere, the Soyuz parachute did not open. Well, an artist called Scarfo has recorded this song about the cosmonaut number 7.
Soyuz was in design plans for years. It was a huge rush, and it's supposed to be a new generation spacecraft, which allow Soviets to do some more advanced operation in space, which Americans already proved by docking Gemini and doing similar things in preparation for manned lunar flight.
So the Soyuz, in some respects, was trying to copy what the Americans are doing, but also going further than that.
You can't compare. You have to combine probably Gemini plus Apollo to compare. There is, we're not comparing apples with oranges here. So you're supposed to be a multi-purpose spacecraft, and as we know, it actually survived 5 decades of the successful maintenance, which none of existing spacecraft doesn't have such a good track record.
So the first cosmonaut was Yuri Gagarin, and Komarov flew Voskhod.
Komarov commanded Voskhod mission in October 1964. And he has been chosen as one. Komarov has Air Force. He was officer in Air Force. He has a rank of colonel, and he already have engineering backgrounds. So he was one of the most respectful cosmonauts in the team, in the core, and probably was one of the most qualified crew member to run a maiden Soyuz mission. His backup actually was Yuri Gagarin. Unlike case in NASA when NASA grounded John Glenn, Gagarin continued to be part of the cosmonaut corps officially, and he was put to the training for Soyuz program.
So John Glenn made the first American orbital flight.
Yes.
And then after that, he wasn't allowed to fly again.
Yeah.
So he left NASA.
After he became a congressman, he was invited to fly a space shuttle mission. I believe it was end of...
Many years later, but yeah. he wasn't allowed to fly any of the Gemini or Apollo missions.
Unlike John Glenn, unlike John Glenn, Gagarin still pretty much in charge of the Soviet Space Corps.
Now, Gagarin and Komarov obviously knew each other very well.
They came from the same, whatever you call, if you try to put comparison, they were in NASA, it was original Mercury 7 team. They came from the first set of candidates for the Vostok program. He has been trained alongside with Gagarin. They knew each other quite well.
On this evening's Space Show, we're looking at the deaths of Vladimir Komarov. In 2013, the Hubi recorded the song which they simply called Vladimir Komarov. Now, what was planned for the Soyuz 1 and the Soyuz 2 mission?
Soyuz 2A mission, because it never flew manned, it has quite ambitious objective to achieve in first manned maiden flight of Soyuz, achieve docking and make the same another first when Soviet would claim that first this docking will provide first manned orbital station. If you remember story from NASA, Gemini H managed to dock with unmanned spacecraft. Unfortunately, this plan didn't materialize due to some problems, technical problems on board of Soyuz 1. Plus, because of weather, Soyuz 2 never has been launched due to thunderstorm in Kazakhstan, because decision has not been made. This thunderstorm could affect electrical system of launch vehicle. And considering what happened with Soyuz 1, they would never achieve any docking. The main crew for Soyuz 2 were cosmonaut Bykovsky, who already fly, and two rookies, Elisiev and Hronov. Quite interestingly, Elisiev and Hronov actually participated in successful docking of Soyuz 4 and Soyuz 5, which happened 2 years later.
Now, it's often said that Komarov and Gagarin believed that the first Soyuz was unsafe and that they didn't want to fly it, and that Gagarin offered to fly, but Komarov said, no, I've got to fly it and save Yuri. Now, is there any credence we should place on those sorts of stories which you read in all sorts of books and references?
Unfortunately, during secrecy, the whole story of Soviet space flight now became like a fairy tale with a mix of guesses, real information, and urban legends. There is an official document when the designers from the factory, which now became Rocket and Space Corporation Energia, they submitted official complaints that spacecraft was not ready, and they listed 203 critical design faults. So spacecraft was not ready, but chief designer Mishin, who replaced Sergei Korolev, who died 1 year earlier, has been pressured to make sure that a launch happening, and it should coincide with the Lenin birthday in end of April. Gagarin and Komarov were aware of this technical issue. Gagarin tried to put his weight in order to make sure that mission would be canceled, or at least they would have time to fix all of this critical problem, but State Commission under General Kamanin make a decision to go for launch, and Gagarin has been chosen as a backup commander, and Komarov has been chosen as a main pilot.
Okay. Well, they had some troubles in flight. Let's hear an American historian, a very young American historian, and her view on the death of Komarov.
Because you wanted to know who was the cosmonaut who died screaming and cursing his crappy spacecraft. It was Vladimir Komarov on the flight of Soyuz 1 in 1967. I'm Amy Shiratitl, and this is a Vintage Space video. On April 20th, 1967, Vladimir Komarov was selected as the pilot of Soyuz 1, with Yuri Gagarin serving as his backup. This first flight of a Soyuz spacecraft was supposed to be a pretty sophisticated mission, with two spacecraft launching one after another, and two crews switching spacecraft in orbit to come down in the other vehicle. But there were so many problems with the Soyuz vehicle going into launch that the Soviet space program decided to scrap this idea and launch Soyuz 1 alone. Komarov was rightly nervous about the flight. There were 203 known issues with the Soyuz spacecraft going into launch, all of which have been documented in a report, but the report seemed to fall on deaf ears. As for Komarov, his hands were tied. He knew that if he refused the flight, he would lose his military honors, and that his close friend and a national hero, Yuri Gagarin, would be forced to fly in the unsafe spacecraft in his stead. Rather than risk Gagarin, Komarov agreed to the flight. Soyuz 1 launched on April 23rd, 1967, and there were problems as soon as it reached orbit. But it was nothing compared to the problems that happened during its descent a day and 2 hours later. Soyuz 1 fell through the atmosphere completely out of control, and landed with the force of a 2.8-ton meteorite. The largest piece of Komarov that was found that was recognizable was his heel bone.
On the space show this evening, we are with Igor Rosenberg, a member of the Space Association of Australia, and I'd say probably one of the best experts in Soviet spaceflight available to us in Australia. Now, Igor, you've just listened to that report. Your comments, please. What was rubbish and what was accurate?
Well, we seem to be having some the same source with this girl from the United States, which actually I met last year when she visited Australia. Chain of unfortunate events happened like this. During flight, they didn't have initial problem with Soyuz 1. Start was quite successful. Upon launching of spacecraft, one of the two solar panels still unfolded. And again, for normal spaceflight in these days, it's not a problem. A couple of years ago, we have the same problem with Soyuz, but the crew managed successfully dock with International Space Station. For maiden flight, it became a huge issue because it caused a shortage of electrical power, and after setting orbit, automatic altitude control failed to operate. So Komarov has to manually turn spacecraft around in order to make a braking impulse to make sure that he would be landed on the territory of USSR. I don't believe that story about kicking and screaming of Komarov during descent is trustworthy. I believe this is next layer what happened in 1975 when crew of Soyuz 18 has a failure of the third stage, and cosmonaut Makarov actually did some swearing in the space, what he think about designers. Komarov simply did not have a chance. He, during Earth descent and landing stage, 90% of time before deploying of the parachute, and deploying of the parachute was a major reason why this tragedy happened. Descent module during a descent stage, it's actually hitting so-called radio blackout stage. So I don't believe he would have a time, physically have time to express. He was a professional cosmonaut, so I don't believe he, even in a situation like this, when he understood something going completely out of hand, he would lose his head. Capsule descent module hit ground with 140 km per hour. It was way above and beyond of what capsule can survive. And unfortunately, I even have to disagree with your statement. It was not first first death in space. He was dead because of landing procedure. So none of cosmonaut astronauts actually happen to be dead in space. Even you think about space shuttle and another thing.
Yes, I take that back. Death in an actual space flight.
Yes.
As against someone who died in training.
Yep.
And there's a whole list of cosmonauts I've got here, like Bondarenko and so on, that died in training. But he was the first one to die during a space flight, at the end of the space flight. Sure, he only died, bang, when he hit the ground. But he was alive until that point.
There are two memorials with Komarov name which American astronauts bring to the moon. One of them has been brought with Apollo 11. It was just a plaque with the name of fallen astronaut. Bondarenko was not on this list because nobody knew it happened. Apollo 15 has a small fallen astronaut figurine with the name of fallen astronauts and Komarov name still on the moon in another location, which brought by Apollo 15 team.
In 2008, the musical group Crush recorded a song called Beacon, which was a song for Vladimir Komarov. Okay, now we've got two more clips to listen to. This first one is called Komarov, True Last Words. So Igor, I invite you to listen to this. It's in Russian. And just see what you think, whether these are the true last words or whether it's just more of the nonsense that you can catch around the place. Well, Igor, your comments on that?
I don't believe it's from Komarov flight, because like I said before, his attitude control system was not operational. So he has to do manual orientation. And this word actually challenges that everything is normal, everything is planned, and spacecraft will make a braking and descend from orbit by itself. So it's a music.
Okay, and our next clip is called Komarov Speech in Space. Well, what do you think?
I did not get much of this. It was too noisy.
Yes, that's allegedly, at the source I found that at, it's allegedly Yuri Gagarin, which is the louder voice you hear, talking to Komarov, and then the reply from Komarov. But, okay, it's pretty much unintelligible. Right, well, let's move on. After the... Oh, and the story's about Komarov cursing Kosygin, cursing the designers, cursing everything, saying, help me, save me. Is any of that possibly true?
Look, there is a chance it might be true, but I'm pretty sure that 99.9% it would not happen. He simply would not have time to do this. Even he understood what is going on and he is going to die. I believe he could calm his nerves.
In 2004, the group John Wayne Shot Me, yes, there is a musical group called John Wayne Shot Me, recorded a song about Vladimir Komarov and his death in Soyuz 1. It's called To Watch the Vultures and Think of Komarov.
Surrounded by a large number of flashing red lights, the radio contact is lost. Fractures filled in of the post-flight. Wake up, alarm, it's nice and warm here. Failing navigation devices, your ship will never fly again. Watch the vulture circle over my head. I had a beautiful life. Best friend dead, I never even met. No failing navigation devices, the ship won't ever fly again. Watch the vulture circle over my head. I had a beautiful life. Besides malfunctioning machines, I had a beautiful life. There are things no one has ever seen. I had a beautiful life that make the spotlight seeker confess. I had a beautiful life that the role of spectator serves him circle over my head. I had a beautiful failure.
Yeah. Well, finally, obviously they had to make changes to the Soyuz as a result of this accident. What did they do?
Soyuz program was grounded for another 18 months. Its first new manned flight has been done by a veteran cosmonaut who fought in World War II, Georgi Beregovoy, who accidentally, after the flight, became the head of space Soviet Space Corps. Again, unsuccessful attempt to launch of manual Soyuz 3, piloted by Beregovoy, with unmanned Soyuz 2. They launched Soyuz 2, but without crew. It took another two pairs of automatic spacecrafts, Soviet achieved first automatic docking in space, unmanned, and only in 1969 they managed to achieve what has been planned for this mission.
Right, well, thank you, Igor. Speaking with Igor Rosenberg from the Space Association of Australia, 50 years ago this month, the death of Vladimir Komarov. Well, this has been the Space Show. Just a very, very quick reminder of the Space Association meeting this Monday, April 24, at 4 St. George's Road, Elsenwick. It's kicking off a bit after 7 o'clock.